Shall we just pray? Father, in Jesus' name, we give you your place in this place. You are the reason for this season. You are the reason for our gathering. Lord, you have the answers to the issues we face. And God, we make it to Zion because, Lord, as many as appear in Zion, they shall go from strength to strength. We entered through this place tired, but Lord, we will leave refreshed. We came here confused, oh God, we will have clarity. We pray in Jesus' name for anyone that came here sick, Lord. You reminded us, oh God, that as you preached the word, the power of God was present to heal people. So may this atmosphere be an atmosphere of grace that heals people of all sicknesses, mental sicknesses, emotional sicknesses, bodily sicknesses, any type of sickness in the name of Jesus Christ. At the entrance of your word, Lord, light comes forth. So I pray in Jesus' name that light comes forth this morning. As we share your word, oh God, I ask in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that light will come so strongly, shall penetrate, shall go through every bone and marrow in the mighty name of Jesus. Let every spirit, oh God, in this place be subject to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said that when we gather in Zion like this, there are thousands and thousands of innumerable angels. And therefore, Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for the angels that are worshiping with us. Therefore, we do not permit any contrary spirit to operate in this place. Lord, we ask, oh God, that your spirit and your freshening grace shall abound unto us. Lord, I subject myself unto you. Use this imperfect lips, oh God. Pour grace on this vessel that I shall be a blessing to your people. I give you glory and praise, oh God, for the grace over this house. And I thank you for greater things that are ahead of this church. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to preach alone. We're going to preach together. Praise God. And so this morning, I'm so excited to be here. I bless God for the life of the set man over the house, Pastor Joe, Joseph Obishison, excellence. And he's actually living his name. So there's a lot of excellence in this place. God bless you. I'm so glad. I bless God for what God is doing in his life. And he's just an example of resilience in faith. He is a senior brother. And for Hill City, I've always said this is my second home. Just in case I'm being sacked from anywhere, this is the place I will come to. Praise God. Sir, I honor the grace over your life. And I thank you so much for the friendship and for allowing God to use you in the ways he has used you in our life as a family and in our ministry. Pastor Joe was in our church latter part of last year. He preached a sermon, and that sermon is like fresh today. So every Wednesday we have prayer meeting, and when people have the opportunity to lead prayer, one of the topics they pray about has always been the sermon he preached. Grace locating people, grace allocating people, and grace relocating people. Oh, wow. That was a message that has not left us, and we bless God for the grace over your life. Could you please put your hands together for your pastor? I bless God for his life. And you see, what can I say about Pastor Buki? You see, sometimes church people tend to see only the pastor, but behind every successful pastor, every pastor who is happily doing the work, is a graceful woman. Because men of God have the peace to preach the word because you give us peace at home. If by the time I was coming here, my wife just in our church, we call it hamburger. If my wife hamburgered me, that means troubled me. I'll be standing here and I'll be missing my tenses. I'll be saying Holy Ghost when I'm not supposed to say Holy Ghost. And therefore, I bless God for you, Buki. And on this week, just past week, you celebrated your birthday. May God bless you as well. Amen and amen. And I'm standing on this pulpit to remind you that there's something you're supposed to do. And the church may not know it, but that was a promise your husband made to your father when he came to ask for your hand in marriage. And every time I've come here, I've reminded Joe, Buki has to do it. And that starts with a P. I won't continue the rest. Buki knows it. We bless God for your lives. And I thank God for the leadership of the church. To stand behind this grace family and for what God is doing in Hill City Church.
Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. When we flip it aside, it's also true. Where there are no people, the vision perish. Okay, so you are here supporting the vision, the audio team, the praise and worship, the children's ministry, everyone that serves in any capacity, you are really, really appreciated. And God bless you for all that you're doing here. And thank you for being in church, and thank you for inviting me. I bring you greetings from Elizabeth and from the church in Christian Impact Center and the family. God bless you. And this morning, if you would, you wouldn't mind kindly turning your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 18, but I think if we read it from 16, it will make a lot of sense to us. So Luke chapter 7, 16 to 21. Very soon, I'll be asking you to put up the slides for me. But for now, let's just do some reading. Then great fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and said, God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout Judea, and all the surrounding regions. Then the disciples of John reported to him, concerning these things. And John, calling two of his disciples, said to him, let me read again. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or we should look for another? Let's move on. When the men had come to him, meaning Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another one? Verse 21. And that very hour, Jesus cured many infirmities and afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 23. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Amen. God bless the reading of his word. Can I have the slides, please? Thank you. Family of God, I don't have a sermon title today. Normally, we'll have a sermon title. And I believe Pastor Joe will testify that it's one of the difficult things a man of God has to give a sermon title. My sermon title is actually a question. And the sermon title, for those of you that may have to report back at home to say, what did the pastor preach about? If you're looking for a topic, the topic is question. Everybody say, one more time, question. We all have questions. I have questions too, and I don't think I will leave this earth without questions. I have questions, and I believe you have questions too. We have different forms of questions. Some start with a why. Okay, that's your turn. Others start with what? Mm-hmm. Who? When? Whom? Are you? So we all have questions. At least you have an idea. We're living in times where people are asking so many questions as well. When is COVID-19 going to be over so we can have a normal life? So everyone asks questions. Everyone asks questions. Job asks questions too. And the whole of the chapter 9 of Job is dedicated to lots of questions that Job was asking God. I thought that it was only men that asked questions, but God also asked questions too. He asked, Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, he asked Cain, where is your brother? God asked questions. Well, if God asked questions, that's not a big deal. He's the owner of the world. But Jesus also asked questions too. He said, who do people say I am? Why? He was just reflecting on his name in Exodus, how he introduced himself to Moses. I am that I am. Who do people say I am? So, on this occasion, I find that one of the most troubling passages of the Bible is what I've shared with you about a man called John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man anointed of the Lord. He was so anointed, and I'll talk about his anointing very shortly, but you will realize that John had questions too. Jesus had come on earth. He was healing people. He was touching lives. Then all of a sudden, John the Baptist calls two of his disciples who had witnessed Jesus perform miracle. And John says, come, you two, I need you to go to that man and ask him some few questions for me. And the question is, Jesus, are you the coming one? Or we should expect somebody else? Okay, take two. Jesus, are you the Messiah? Or we should expect a different Messiah? Family and church, this is a troubling question. It's a troubling question. It's a troubling question for a number of reasons, and I will explain to you shortly. What then happens when the people, the two disciples of John, came to Jesus? Jesus should have just said yes or no. What Jesus does, he picks people who are sick and he begins to display power. People are getting sick, people are getting healed, people are, the deaf are hearing, the dead are being raised. I mean, is this to spite off these two disciples or what? Jesus, just tell these people yes or no and let them take the message back to John the Baptist. After Jesus heals so many people, he tells these people, these two disciples, go and tell John that the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the dead are being raised. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Okay, we are in Australia, so we need to analyze this with the Australian eye. I would personally find that insulting. I will find that very, if you like prideful talk, arrogance. I would think, Jesus, you don't care. Because I asked a simple question. If you are the Messiah, the coming one, or we should expect somebody else. I'm letting that sink for a while. The reason I'm letting this sink is that this question should not be coming from John the Baptist. Different people can ask Jesus different types of questions, but it's like Nikki asking Pastor Joseph, are you the pastor of Hill City or not? If you heard that question, you go like, Nikki, are you all right? Because you should, if there's anyone that should know, I mean, you should know, because you are part of this house, you serve in this house. And that was the same situation with John the Baptist. Let me tell you why. Let's go to the next slide. The relationship between John the Baptist, let's move on. The relationship between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ was so unique that this kind of question was a bit unfortunate. First of all, John the Baptist knew Jesus right when Jesus was in the womb. They connected right in the womb. If you care to remember, John the Baptist's mom was Elizabeth, and Jesus' mom was Mary. At the time of John's conception, when Elizabeth was pregnant with John, and she was in her sixth month. That's what the time the angel also visited Mary and said, Mary, you're going to be conceiving and you're going to give birth to a son and his name will be Jesus. Well, Mary went to look for Elizabeth. And Bible says, as soon as Mary saw Elizabeth, the baby in both wombs somehow leaped. They did backflips. They hadn't met physically, but somehow in the womb, they were talking. John was connected to Jesus right there in the womb. So if you are connected to this person like this, how dare you ask him later down the track if he is the Messiah or not? Not only that, you remember that when John started his ministry, he was preaching in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, when you go to Matthew chapter 3, you will actually find the ministry of John the Baptist described there vividly. His message was that a man is coming after me, and this man is the one God has prepared to take away the sins of the world. I am not even worthy to untie the cords of his sandals. He says, I am the one preparing the way for this man. And guess what? Bible says, and when one time John saw Jesus coming, he said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. How come that this person that connected to Jesus in the womb, preached about him in the wilderness, will now turn and ask, are you the Messiah? Or we should expect someone else. Thirdly, John's connections to Jesus also has something to do with water. Why? It was John that baptized our Lord Jesus. In fact, he earned his name John the Baptist because of his ministry. And of all the people that John baptized, the most significant was Jesus Christ. And for those of you who pretend like you've been to Sunday school before, Bible says, and when John was baptizing Jesus Christ, immediately the baptism was over, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended onto Jesus like a dove, and a voice sounded, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. John heard that voice too. So three things: relationship in the womb, relationship in the wilderness, because that is why he went to the wilderness to preach. And in the water, he baptized our Lord Jesus Christ. So what happened to John? What is happening here? What is happening? Just to give you the context, at this time, John was in prison. Righteousness had landed him in jail. He had gone to preach the word of God, and he had rebuked Herod. Herod had taken his brother's wife, and he said that is against Mosaic law. You can't do that. And you know, everyone, I keep saying to people that sometimes when I'm preaching in church, I say, God has given every pastor a message. If God hasn't given you a particular message, don't preach that message. Because when God gives you a certain message, he gives you the anointing to endure the consequences of that message as well. And so for John, he was attacking people in power. And when you attack people in power, they will also use the power to attack you. And so Herod got him and put him in jail. If you know the story, later he threw the daughter, just got him beheaded. But at this time, John hadn't been beheaded. And so he was in jail. And he had been in jail for a long time. He had expectations. John, according to Luke chapter 1, was the cousin of Jesus. So there was that blood tie, apart from the womb, apart from the wilderness and the water, they were cousins too. So Jesus Christ, if anyone should care about me, John, it should be you. We don't find any account in the Bible where Jesus visited John the Baptist in jail. And so, if John had preached about Jesus for a long time, if John had announced the coming of Jesus for a long time, John also had an expectation That Jesus, I announced you, I baptized you. Jesus, I spoke to people about you. And in fact, I am in jail because I preach the gospel. I preach the righteousness of God. If there is something you should do, do something. I have waited and waited and waited and waited, and nothing is happening. And so John sends his two disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you the Messiah? Because he had an expectation. He was living in a place of disappointment where he was thinking that Jesus, are you kidding me? Are you just leaving me to languish and to die in jail? Jesus, I have heard that you are able to, at one time some people tried to kill Jesus. They tried to throw him off a cliff. And the Bible says Jesus just left them just like that. So our Lord Jesus Christ had the power to just slip out of people. John remembers that miracle. So in his mind, Jesus, aren't you able to just declare a word? So I will disappear out of jail and you are saying nothing. You're saying nothing. Family of God, the story of John the Baptist and why he would ask such a question reflects the life of some of us. That sometimes life can throw us into some places where we begin to wonder, did God really say, is this going to happen? Life can push you to certain corners where you had believed at first, but all of a sudden, because of perhaps the delay or things not happening as fast as you want, or God not maybe granting your request as you want, you begin to question. That was the place John found himself. That was the place John was at this stage of his life. He was a man of God. He had so much power. He had so much grace over his life. But at this point in John's life, the grace was in doubt. Because he had come to a place where he's beginning to doubt if Jesus is actually the Messiah. There are three things we learn from Jesus' response to John. Three things that I would like to share with you. Three things. Why? Jesus does not say, yes, I am the Messiah, or no, I'm not the Messiah. He picks up people, he begins to heal them, and tells those two disciples, go and tell John what you have seen. It tells us something that we have to learn. There are times we come to a place in our lives where we are looking for simple, simple answers. Lord, is this going to happen on the 8th of May? So I prepare myself for it. A number of times we come to places where we want just God to say yes or no, so we know what is happening. But you see, one of the things that God uses to mature us as believers is that in those difficult, doubtful situations, God will not give you a yes or a no. He wants to teach you something more, deeper, to deepen your relationship with him. So the first one is this, that when things go rough, the first thing is to trust God. The first thing when things go rough in tough times is to trust God. Jesus did not answer John. Jesus did not send a message of yes or no. He rather begins to perform a miracle just to prove to John that I still have got the power to do it. I am just not doing it on this occasion because there is a deeper thing I want to teach you. There is a deeper truth I want to teach you. There is something, there's another level I want to place you. Because Christianity of these days, and I believe that I'm part of it as a pastor, we promise and promise and promise and present God as a Santa Claus. And so when God begins to deepen people's faith and God begins to just stretch people a little bit, they begin to wonder, is this the God you said can do all things? But I believe time has come for people's faith to be deepened in the Lord, to go beyond. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. A time has come in your life where you say, God, you haven't given me what I'm asking for yet. It has not happened. The dream has not happened. But God, I haven't given up. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I still trust you anyway. John had every reason to complain. And he was right to complain. It was his right to complain. Why? He was doing all the right things. Preaching the gospel. Announcing the Messiah. And sometimes when we are doing all the right things, paying our tithes, serving in church, and doing all these things, we feel that God is mandated to meet our needs because we're doing all the right things. But you see, one of the signs of maturing in the Lord is when you are doing all the right things and God still is pushing you to some tight corner. God wants to see, would you still serve me amidst of the difficulties? Because God does not always do it on time as you want. He wants to see, if I delay this for a year, if I delay this for a month, if I say provisionally, no, would you still serve me? And sometimes God's no is just a test, because we have seen it before. He told Hezekiah, you are going to die. But that did not mean that Hezekiah was going to die anyway. It was just in a matter of minutes. And the prophet Isaiah came back to prophesy again to Hezekiah. A number of people have turned their backs on God when life gets tough, when life puts them in prison, when life is not offering all the things that Christianity is offering. You said God will heal me. I have been in church for 5 years and still I'm sick anyway. Is God still in the business of healing? And you have to trust God. Jesus called people to heal them there, to show John's disciples, I haven't lost the power. The blood hasn't lost its power. It is still efficacious. It is still powerful. But on this occasion, John, you need something more than just release from prison. And I came here, Hill City, to tell you that yes, we have dreams. Family, we have dreams. We're trusting God for doors to open. But for any reason, if God says, maybe just wait a little bit, still trust in him. Still trust in him. Still trust in him. Because he still has the power to perform miracles. He still has the power to do mighty things. And he still has the power to bless. Number two, and this is quite fascinating. Jesus wanted to send a message to John that one of the ways you can demonstrate that you love me is not when I always provide for your needs and you say thank you. Real faith is God, even if it does not happen, I'm still not giving up on this. And that was the faith that was commended of the three Hebrew children. King, let it be known unto you today that our God is able to save. But even if he does not do it, let it be known to you, we are not bowing today or tomorrow. I pray that God will infuse that kind of faith in us, where it is just holding on to God, good or bad. One of the messages I heard recently, your pastor preached about when bad things happen to good people. You still trust God. You still hold on to him. That God, I am not giving up. I know you promised that you would do this X, Y, and Z. It hasn't happened. But God, I am still holding on. Point number two. See something. When John was in jail and he was struggling and he was going through all the tough times, Bible says John called two of his disciples, his friends, and spoke to them about his struggles. You missed that. John the bishop, John the anointed one, John the one that wielded so much power that politicians will come and bow to him to baptize them. You know, in our days, man of God, we feel we are such anointed. And I still feel that the people of old, the levels they operated in were just uncommon levels. Because if you put me in church and you don't give me a microphone, that day I have to push myself to preach. Because I have become so accustomed to microphone. I've become so accustomed to worship. And so in church, the person that leads worship, if you don't do good worship, we'll have a meeting after church. Because you have the responsibility to prepare the grounds so that the man of God will release the word. In John's days, there was no worship. There was no microphone. There was no projector. But he was able to still preach, and people of influence will come and bow down to him, including soldiers who will say, "Lord, what should we do?" That tells you the level of grace upon this man. But it tells you also that regardless of how anointed, how much we love God, a time comes in your life where struggles set in, where you become weary, where you begin to wonder, "Lord," you may not ask the same question that John asked. John's question was, "Are you the Messiah?" You may say, "God, when? Is this going to happen? Is the marriage going to happen? Lord, is this business going to succeed? When is my son returning home? When is this daughter of mine who is gone just off you, Lord? When is this daughter coming? Lord, when is this husband going to be a good husband? When is this, is there going to be ever peace in our home?" Man of God, anointed, but there was a moment of struggle in his life. And guess what? Bible said he had two people in his life that he trusted, that in my struggle, I cannot go through this all by myself. I need to talk to somebody. These were people that John trusted, that they will not take my issue out there on Facebook and say, "Hey, I've got news for you. Here the man of God who preached, who healed, who did this. He is now doubting the very person he anointed." These people were trusted people. Can I ask you this morning, are there any trusted people in your life? Or you are just an island? One of the things that are killing people in this country is isolation. It's just that loneliness. And recently, our neighbor died in the house for some days, and nobody knew that this person was dead. It was when the family who were living somewhere in the city called, and they realized that something was happening. By the time they came back, the man had died for many days. I understand that sometimes we need to keep privacy. But even John realized that at this point in my life, I need to open up to somebody. Family of God, when you are going through things, God placed pastors around us. God placed people around us to be sons of encouragement, to be the Barnabases who can encourage, who can hold your hands in prayer. Because John was there all by himself and he was struggling in his faith. He had once believed in God, but at this point in his life, John was, I can actually say, he was almost backsliding. Because he was casting doubt about even the messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there in the womb with him. He spoke about him in the wilderness. He baptized him. But these things didn't make sense at this time in John's life. And that is a stage we come to in marriage. It's a stage we come to in our careers. When is this promotion going to happen? Every time I try, my manager says no. When is this going to happen? Lord, you gave us the vision. Lord, you said this is going to happen. But you see, a time comes when struggles begin to set in, and you need those two people, these trusted friends, who will be able to encourage you, who will be able to hear you out. And guess what those two people did? Immediately they heard what John said. They came right back to Jesus. That tells us these two were prayer warriors. They spoke to Jesus on behalf of John the Baptist. So you need people. The people you need on your speed dial are not people who will just come and just give you emotional candy. You know, we're all going through this. Eh? Don't worry, eh? You need people who will speak the word of God in your life, who will quote scriptures like Habakkuk chapter 3, and they will tell you that although the fig tree does not bear, if though there are no sheep in the pen, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. And they give you scriptures and speak over your hands. They will speak the word of God into you. Though it tarries, wait for it. They spoke to Jesus on behalf of John. Who are your prayer warriors? Who are the people that you can call and say, I'm struggling. I need help in this area. My wife and myself have subscribed to a certain website. It's full of pastors' wives and pastors who share their stories. And have been very, very fascinated hearing the stories of men of God. Most of them are in the US and in the UK. Some are in Australia. And sometimes you can feel this John syndrome right in the comments of men of God. Or people who have loved Jesus for a long time. But when the delays set in, when the frustration set in, when the disappointment set in, they begin to wonder. One actually asks, is this gospel really real? And I can just speak up that these kind of men of God, these kind of Christians may not have people that are praying with them. They are not having people who can speak to Jesus on their behalf. And that's quite important. That is quite important to have people in your life that in your dark hours you can call and say, Pastor Joe, I need your help. Things are not going right. I come to church wearing a mask, wearing something, wearing a makeup and a makedown just to cover up things. But in actual fact, things are not working. I need prayer. You need people who will hold up your hands. You will say, that is John. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane called 3 people to pray with him. Jesus is God. He called John, he called James, and he called Peter. Let's go have prayer. Unfortunately, those people were dozing off in the garden. So know those that you choose. People who actually pray when they say they will pray. And the last one, the last lesson we learn, which also starts with a T, the T tips for tough times. Jesus calls people, he starts displaying power. Be healed, the person is healed. Let your eyes open, the person's eyes open. The lesson Jesus wanted to teach John the Baptist and all of us is that you have to be thankful for others. Because sometimes what you are looking for, God gives it to somebody else who is on the pew. Sometimes what you're looking for, the dream you have, you see someone living that dream. As human as we are, you can ask questions. God, are we not serving the same God? Are we not serving the same God that you do this for? You do this miracle for this family and you leave us alone? The lesson there is that, John, I am teaching you something deeper than a yes or a no answer. When you see that others around you are getting blessed with something you desire, be thankful to God for them, because it shows you the God that has done it for them is also able to do it for you. But what do we see? Are you happy for a sister who is just getting married and you have been waiting for a while? Are you happy for a couple that have just got a baby and you and your partner, your husband, your wife have struggled for many years? And it's still not happening. Are you happy for them. Or because yours hasn't happened, you just go like that. It's a lesson of good attitude towards others when God blesses them with what we desire. I've seen this in church. And I bless God for Hill City. You're very, 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 very composed. In our place, when messages are blessing people, sometimes you see people jump out of their seats just to prove a point to a sister who is seated at the last corner to tell you that I have got it. You've not got it yet. And these things spite people off. It raises the spirit of envy and jealousy. It makes people moody. Because why? That is the same question that Hannah would ask. We have the same husband. Why is it that this person is getting pregnant and I am not? Family, God loves us. God wants to take us to the next level. And there are times we seek yes, no, simple answers to the questions we have. But when life gets tough, when we have questions about life, when we have doubts about the dream God gave us, let's remember these three T's. Trust, because he still has the power to heal. He's still able to multiply bread. He's still able to release the disciples out of jail. So it wasn't like he didn't have the power to do it. John, you needed more than just a miracle. Because mature people seek the love of God, not his hands. You need some trusted people you can trust when life gets tough, who can stand with you and pray with you. And finally, when it is not happening, be thankful for others who have it. Because it's the same God. And when God sees your heart and sees that you're grateful for that sister, grateful for that brother, he sees your humility and he will give you more. Because anytime there has been a delay, God always multiplies. Let us pray.